Hi, my name is Lindy. I've been a Grow program worker in Northern Victoria for over 10 years now. I want to introduce you to Nick. Nick joined a Grow young adult group 4 years ago. As a child, Nick's depression and anxiety went untreated. He later experienced several episodes of psychosis, 4 hospital admissions, and an on-again, off-again relationship with meds. Nick received a diagnosis of schizophrenia, which is now managed with medication, good sleep, exercise, team sports, a Grow peer support group, and nurturing relationships. Nick now regularly checks his version of reality with that of others and adjusts his version to a consensus reality. Nick can have a laugh at where his mind goes when he's unwell, such as reading into car number plates or thinking he's been microchipped. In this part of our conversation, Nick and I explore his relationship with the diagnosis, the purpose it serves in his life, and how to keep it from hijacking his identity or limiting his potential and the responsibility that he takes for his recovery and personal growth. That capacity that you spoke about, Nick, to laugh at yourself and to laugh at those times when you have been particularly unwell and out of touch with reality, do you think it's been important?
Yeah. Sometimes I would describe some of my episodes as, yeah, I was batshit crazy. That would be my way of describing it to someone else in lay people's terms. It also humanizes yourself. So rather than saying I have schizophrenia or I am a schizophrenic, to say I was batshit crazy just means that I wasn't thinking clearly or I wasn't thinking straight at a particular point in time.
And that's so interesting that humor rehumanizes.
You kind of have to be able to joke about yourself and talk about these things in lay people's terms so that you can build that commonality and trust again and feel confident within yourself rather than saying I'm a victim and you're the oppressor for not understanding.
Can you tell us a little bit more, Nick, about when you received that diagnosis and your relationship with that diagnosis over the years?
Yeah, so I think initially I thought it was absurd. I was probably still in a paranoid state, incidentally, but I didn't recognize, first of all, the paranoid state at the time that I received the diagnosis. I also, over the next year from that first episode of psychosis, was very much, I wanted to regain my independence and freedom again. So I was initially put on what's called a community treatment order where I was mandated to take medication and I guess trust that the system would look after me. After a year, I appealed to the tribunal, the mental health tribunal, got my decision overturned. I said, you know, my argument was this was a drug-induced psychosis and that they didn't have a right to keep me on medication that could potentially be harmful. So that was a very empowering chapter to have won that process. I got the decision overturned. The next 2 years went really well. I started a plumbing apprenticeship and was essentially free of delusions, free of medication for 2 years. And then I guess life caught up to me. I can't remember what circumstances were going on at the exact time, but had a relapse or a second episode. And then at that point, it was, okay, I have to address this as a real condition and potentially ongoing problem.
So the diagnosis became helpful, but you felt a bit more empowered at that point in time to look at it objectively, maybe figure out how am I going to make this work for me?
It's always been empowering for me to push back on medical advice. At the same time, having had multiple episodes, it's been equally, if not more empowering, to trust those individual practitioners to know that they're actually trying to help you, that they do care about your well-being. And if you explore that journey with a professional, that you're more likely to have a good outcome in the long run.
And what about the language of diagnosis among the people in your life? Has it been important for you to have your family and close friends, your partner, know about this diagnosis, understand this diagnosis? How do you explain it to them? How much do they need to know?
It is something that's important to me to convey as much as I can to these people, especially when it came to dating. I've had 3 relationships since my first episode of psychosis, and in each relationship, I felt it necessary or important to talk about my experiences early as a precaution and as that was becoming close to my identity, I guess.
And what about in applying for jobs? Have you applied for other jobs and had to really wrestle with, do I disclose this or not?
Yeah, I have. Typically, I would apply for the job. Once I got the job, I would tell them. More often than not, I would have a positive experience with telling someone this story. I think it was clear to them whenever I've applied for a job that it wasn't something that was affecting me in the present moment. So therefore, the employer's going, oh, well, this person seems well. Them telling me this shows how honest they are, and therefore I can trust them as an employee. So it has had some benefits in that regard. If I was at a party and I happened to mention this, I've gotten good at selling the story in a confident way. So therefore, whoever I'm telling the story to feels interested, and I don't let myself get choked up or emotional about it because I'm not seeking emotional support for what I've been through, I guess.
How would you encourage people to relate to and make sense of the diagnoses that they're given?
I mean, everyone's different. For me, I like to think that having a lived experience becomes part of your identity, but I don't think you should marry the diagnosis with your identity. You know, that's a medical scientific term. It doesn't define who you are as a human or where you're going. It doesn't really tell a story. With any kind of disability, I guess, people don't want to be seen as the disability. Some people, they enjoy receiving a diagnosis because they feel like that gives them sense or justifies how they're feeling. They're like, oh, there's a medical thing that's wrong with me. But in my mind, that can be used as an excuse, or it can be a hindrance in your own growth because you're like, well, I'm a victim of this condition. Therefore, there's limitations to what I can achieve. I don't find one diagnosis really does validate what I've been experiencing, because I think schizophrenia or any mental health condition, there's too many factors to really put one label on something. I think these things occur on spectrums.
And one label might have, well, I mean, it has as many different expressions as the number of people who have ever received it, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're saying there's just going to be so many individual elements to this experience because we're all just so unique. So in a way, it becomes a tool, doesn't it? A tool to maybe access some extra understanding, access some maybe peer support, you know, from people who have had similar experiences. It obviously can sometimes help access the right medication or some extra funding, but you let it just serve those purposes without becoming superimposed over the whole of your sense of self.
Yeah, it can be difficult to accept a diagnosis, but at the same time, we need some reference point to work with if we're going to seek treatment or help.
So if someone has received a diagnosis or they fear a diagnosis and somehow that self-stigma has seeped into their psyche, how do you think you can unentangle yourself from that stigma and that self-stigma?
I think going to a peer support group such as Grow is a great place, because to feel that there's other people who have comparable or, you know, different experiences and seeing different perspectives around, let's say, anxiety, depression, which most, if not all, mental health conditions have elements of anxiety and depression to them, to see how different people have coped and not use their diagnosis as an excuse for their behavior. So I think it's really important to see how you can improve yourself, improve your own character, rather than using a diagnosis as an excuse for aspects of your character which you're resentful about. You're putting yourself in a box. If you say that I've got a diagnosis that I can't climb out of, so that's not to say you won't potentially have this diagnosis for the rest of your life, but you can still overcome it. What that means will be different for each person. But I think it's important to keep trying, keep pushing back, or seeing what you can change within yourself and with your actions and thoughts, I guess.
No one outside of ourselves can tell us what we're capable of and what we're not, can they? It's like the human person can't be put under a microscope. It's about saying, don't let any of that limit you. Reach for the stars.
Yeah. And I think that having had the lived experience, other people will trust me enough to allow me to give them that nudge so that they can be self-activated or empowered to stop feeling like they're a victim. And that is one thing that I value about having had that lived experience.
All right. So, Nick, your final words of advice for our listeners today?
Yeah. So my final words of advice, this would be for anybody, but particularly if you've received a diagnosis in the mental health space, don't let yourself have a victim mentality, have a growth mindset, keep striving for what you want out of life and keep exploring.
Cool. I love it. Thank you, Nick, for
So just sharing from the heart today and sharing from so much of your own experience and being real about it all, I really appreciate it. And I'm sure our listeners will too.
Thanks, Lindy. That was fun.